In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, and it's also the feast day of the beheading of St. John the Baptist and St. Sabina. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. All right, today's sermon, we're going to talk about a typical week at Mary's Little Ranch. And what I mean by that is how God gives us miracles, literally, if not several every week, maybe even every day. So he does what we call, and many times I've told the brothers, little big miracles. They seem little to other people, but they're big to us. When he inspires you to read a verse, when you're thinking about a particular verse and something, you open and there it is, and he's talking to your heart. Those are miracles too. But we're going to talk about three particular miracles that happened in the past week that teach us certain lessons. And the first miracle we're going to talk about is a miracle of the organ. That actually happened on 8:15, which was the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother into Heaven, body and soul. And it was on a Sunday. And if it wasn't a Sunday, it still would have been a holy day of obligation, and we come together on that particular day. And the feast day of the Assumption, when it falls on a Sunday, takes precedence over the Sunday. So we celebrated the Mass of the Assumption at our Blessed Virgin Mother Mary into Heaven. And the choir was preparing certain songs, appropriate songs for the feast day. One of them was Prima Virgo, which they really needed the organ for, because the choir sings Gregorian chant here. And they do a very good job on it. So we sing Gregorian chant, and we sing regular hymns. We sing all Catholic hymns and a lot of Gregorian chants. Well, they needed the organ to help them go along with this Prima Virgo, because they just learned it the week. And Sister Jane was saying how the organ was very important to learn to sing this song the proper way. And the other one we sung for our Blessed Mother is, Who is She Ascend So High? And that was the other song which they really would have liked to have the organ on, but they really needed it more importantly for Prima Virgo. But every Sunday when we do our hymns, the first hymn is always to the glory of God, either to the Holy Trinity or Jesus or relating to God. The second hymn is always to the Blessed Mother, and the third is always to St. Joseph. We always have at least three hymns, and it's to God, to Mary, to Joseph. And sometimes we include another one if there's a famous saint that week, and we include another hymn. That's the way our choir usually works. But our choir has a very big, a good now list of songs that they've been singing, and a lot of Gregorian chants. So, this is going to show you the lesson of how what's the great St. Augustine, whose feast day we just celebrated this week, as a matter of fact, just yesterday, on August 28th, I think he's the one who said, when you sing, it's like praying 10 times. It's how powerful hymns are in giving glory to God, because it's from your heart. It should be from your heart. Now, some people sing, and it doesn't mean everybody who sings is being blessed. You can be a heretic and sing, and your hymns are worthless. We're talking about Catholics now. When Catholics sing hymns to God and to Mary and to Joseph, Catholics, it's like praying 10 times. It's very powerful. And the devil hates it. Oh, how he hates it. When Catholics sing hymns to God, to Mary, and to the saints. And St. Joseph, and he hates it more even when you sing to Mary than God even, because that was the object of his fall. This particular miracle, which you call of the organ that took place, is going to just show you a little lesson on how that's so very true. Well, when it came, the Mass prayers were over, and the choir was getting ready to sing their particular hymns at the end of Mass. And Sister Jane, they were practicing a little bit in the morning with the organ, just to polish up a little bit, and the organ was working. Well, then, as soon as Mass was over, Sister Jane went over to the organ, and the organ wasn't working. I said, oh, she goes, of all times for it not to work. This is the first time it ever didn't work for us. Now, a little history on that organ. It's a secondhand organ. It's not very, we got it in some junk store or something, or somewhere, but it was working for us. But the batteries never worked in it, never. So we couldn't get it to work with batteries, so we had to plug it in. Big deal, we plugged it in. But anyway, it wasn't working. And then she said, oh, of all days, well, I need this for the Prima Virgo, to sing the Prima Virgo. Then didn't we sing one hymn to the God? The first one. So we said, it's not working. Then she unplugged it, plugged it back in, plugged it, unplugged it, plugged it back in. It wasn't working. Unplugged it and said, that's it. We're not going to have it for today. So we sung our first hymn to Almighty God. I forget which one it was, but it was to God. Jesus, my Lord, my God, and my all. But we didn't have the organ for that. But God had other plans for the next one. He said, you're going to sing that song with the organ for the Blessed Mother. So Sister Jane out of just any inspiration, the thing's unplugged. She goes over and just hits the key and it starts working. And it starts playing. She goes, hey, the organ's working. I says, it's not plugged in? No, it's not plugged in and it's working. Then we said, are our batteries in it? Well, let's check that afterwards to see, maybe the battery's kicked in. So, well, thank God it's working. I mean, right before the Prima Virgo, which is what she needed. And it's not plugged in. We don't know if there's batteries in it. And so it's working. We sing the Prima Virgo. We sing, who is she, ascend so high? And we sing the hymn to St. Joseph, and we end. Then we said, later on, we're going to do an investigation because we're not sure if it's a miracle or not. But the timing was kind of, you know, all not working, working, then it worked. So that's even a miracle in itself. But we weren't sure. Maybe the batteries kicked in, but they never worked before. And the batteries that we found out were in there were dead anyway. But what happened is I didn't say nothing about it for sure, but Brother Nicholas took the thing and he says, let me work on it. And he put new batteries in there. It didn't work. He tried to fix the plug. It didn't work. The batteries that were in there were dead anyway, and it never worked with them anyway. So we're just telling you, we call this the miracle of the organ. We confirm that is a miracle because it doesn't work with the batteries. It never did. The batteries in there that were dead, the plug was out. He worked on it all week. He couldn't get the thing to work, and it hasn't worked since. And we don't need it now because now, what did we do? It cost us to go out and get a nice brand new organ, a Casio, and it's beautiful. It plays all different types of tunes. It's something we always wanted to get. So now on top of it, not only did the devil lose, because we got to sing the hymn to the Blessed Virgin Mary, for Almighty God told our angels to go in there and make that thing work for those three hymns, and after that it didn't work at all. And then I'm going to have Richard go out and get a nice new organ so we can have an organ that's even better than the one you had. Now we got an organ that's 10 times better than what we had. Beautiful. You got to see this thing. So as we say, like St. Paul said in Romans 8:28, for those who love God, all things work on together to the good. The devil is the ultimate loser. Even when he attacks you, he loses. He couldn't defeat us with the song. The song got sung to the Blessed Virgin Mary with the organ. And now we got a better organ, Mr. Satan, and all you filthy devils in hell. And now you're going to have to listen to even more beautiful music. It's not going to cease till God sees fit that we should die. It shows you how important that hymn was. The devil did not want us to sing the hymn Primo Virgo, which we needed the organ for. He even hates Mary more than God. I tell the brothers that it's true because the object of his fall was Mary. God told Lucifer, and Lucifer knew God was God. He had that pure knowledge of God. He said, you submit to Mary, this human creature. She's the queen of queens. She's the most important. She's the supreme creature above all creatures, as creatures. She's above you. She's above all creatures. She's the highest elevated creature God ever created. Lucifer said, I want to be number one. Caused him to fall. Well, we call that the miracle of the organ. We waited for the week till Brother Nicholas worked on the thing in every way he could, and we confirm that is a miracle. And we confirm that to show all the people how important it is when you sing hymns to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, that was on 8:15. The second miracle we had, you need a little history of what was going on, what we're doing here right now. Our major project right now that I'm working on and Sister Jane is we're working on the catechism. We're going to call it the Blessed Virgin Mary's Catechism. And it's the ultimate catechism. This catechism is going to have every dogma in it. It's going to tell you it's a dogma. It's going to give you the Bible verses that teach the dogma. And it's going to give you the infallible papal teachings that teach the dogma. This is the catechism that should have been done years ago, but was never done by these klutzy, rotten, evil, wicked, lousy, filthy popes that idolized philosophy, mythology, and naked pictures and so forth and so on in humanism. This is going to be the ultimate catechism. This book, second to the prayer book, and I don't say second, equal. Equal to the prayer book is this catechism, and there's no more important two books in the whole world for anybody. Because this catechism is going to teach the full deposit of Catholic faith. Anyway, we're making very good progress on that. And that week, we were working on the week of before August 15th and after August 15th, for those 2 weeks, we're working on the dogmas on the most holy and blessed Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one God. And we were working on all those dogmas, and we're coming up with ways to explain it, and we got some very nice ways to explain it. Not in ways, it's sort of like St. Patrick with the three-leaf clover and the three-in-one. Anyway, that week we're working on it, and on August 23rd, which is on a Monday, Sister Marie and Sister Gabrielle and Sister Anna Marie, with the dogs, they go for a daily walk. They went for a walk up into the mountains. They went through what we call a little Kidron Valley over there, and they went up into the mountains. And when they were walking, Sister Marie stepped on something. How did it happen? Explain. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I tripped on it and then I picked it up. Because I saw the three layers.
Yeah, yeah.
I picked it up, it was one rock.
Yeah, she tripped on this little rock and then picked it up. And you got to look at this rock. It's amazing. We call this now the Trinity Rock, the Holy Trinity Rock. And she looked down, picked it up, and it has one side over here. It's just like one rock, but it's three pieces on the back, three stones. You got to look at this thing. One substance, one nature, one rock, three stones are in it, melded together. And it had these three layers. We call it the Trinity Rock. And it's a great representation. I will tell you why. We're going to post this up, too, with the picture, too, to show people. It's a solid piece of rock, but it has those three layers. And if you look at it, it's layered in three. So it's three distinct stones in one rock. Three distinct stones in one rock. She picked it up and turned it over. And I came in on Tuesday. Monday's my day off. And she had it laying. I goes, guess what this is? And it looked like just one rock on the one side. She said, turn it over. And it's three distinct stones in one rock. All one substance. The divine nature is one. The divine substance is one. But it's in three divine persons. So we have one rock, three stones. And the stone which I'll say this is God the Father, this is God the Son, and this is the Holy Spirit who proceeds from both. And what is Jesus Christ referred to in the New Testament? He's the cornerstone. Here he is, the cornerstone. So he's referred as the cornerstone. So we have one rock, three stones. It's all within one rock, all merged together. And it's another way to explain to people the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity. God gave some other miracles and inspirations also, showing us how important this dogma is. Because unless you believe in this dogma, that's our basic, very first dogma, you can't be saved. No way. No way. And what is being denied today throughout the whole world when you say Jews, Talmudic Jews, and Muslims who don't believe in the Holy Trinity can be saved? It's the denial of the Most Holy and Blessed and Eternal Trinity. When you start saying that people don't need to believe in, Jesus Christ told us we have to believe in it. It's a dogma. It's our very basic dogma. That happened. We call this the Trinity Rock Miracle. That happened on 8/23. Now I'll give you the last miracle that we're talking about here. Also on 8/23, the same day on that Monday, on my day off, who knows, maybe when Sister Marie was walking and stepped on the rock, I don't know. And I have to give you a little history on this to understand how important this what we call minor big miracle is. But I tell you, first of all, we're editing movies. These are very good movies, but they need to be edited. It's called Cat File. They're Cat File Mysteries. There's 13 of them. It's about Benedictine monks. It's true stories based off of in England, but you have to edit it. Now, I want to remind people, don't go out and get these things. If you want them, order them from us, and we'll still buy them. We don't violate copyright protection laws. We do buy them, but we had to censor them because there's immodesty and there's heresy in them. You got to get the heresy out. You got to get the immorality out. And then you got a perfect, very good movie. Very inspiring. But it was based off of true stories that took place in the 12th century in England under King Stephen, who was then at a civil war with the Empress Maud, or Matilda, where they were fighting with one another for supremacy over England, but the Pope supported King Stephen. In that particular series, they're always talking about St. Winifred. St. Winifred. That was the saint they had in Shrewsbury, the Abbey of Shrewsbury, which was their main saint that did many miracles for the people in Shrewsbury. It turns out to be these are all true stories. But anyway, we never really knew, was she really a true saint? Or is it just for the story or whatever? Because she was one of the main, she's the body of the relics of the saints that they have in that Shrewsbury Abbey. And we're almost done with the whole series. So the one we're working on, though, which we started to work on the week before 8/23, that Monday, and this week's called The Taste for Bones. And that one is when they transferred a body of St. Winifred from Guthrie to Shrewsbury. And they go to get her body and to dig up her bones and bring her back by order of the Abbot of Shrewsbury. And there's a big fight over the people in Guthrie. They don't want to give up her body. And that happened a lot in the church. There was a lot of fights over transferring saints from one location to another. And they would come in and rob them and bring them back and all that. Now, that particular one really needed to be edited. So I'm not encouraging people to go right out and buy. If you want to do it, I tell you, order it from us. We censored it. It's now watchable. If it's not censored, you can't watch it. But anyway, now that it's censored, it's very beautiful. And it shows you how their veneration they paid the relics of the saints. We were working on that the week before on St. Winifred. So on Monday, it was just that week before, and we still had it on the thing, and we're still working on it. So on my day off, 8/23, August 23rd, in my office, and I'm looking at a Catholic imprimatur book that I wanted to read on the lives of the saints. And there's four particular volumes of all the saints for, on the different dates. And I reach up and I pull one of the books off, one of the books of the four off. I usually do that. And I open up to a page and I say, God, who do you want me to read about? So I opened up to a page and I got on there to St. Malachi, November 3rd. And I read about St. Malachi. What a great story. What an Irish powerhouse of a saint. He was like a St. Patrick. Not as many miracles, but he did a lot of miracles. And he was very friendly with St. Bernard. And he visited St. Bernard. He wanted to stay with St. Bernard. But he was called, I think, to be a bishop or very powerful. And he had to accept the office to end a dispute to this bad bishop that was ruling, because he's the only one that was holy enough and good enough to rule the see. It was a great story. It was about five pages on St. Malachi. I got done reading St. Malachi, and then I looked right over next to him. I said, oh, St. Winifred. Winifred, and they spell it in the English way. I wasn't even thinking of the St. Winifred that we, from these movies. I said, oh, it's only 2-3 pages. Let me read about St. Winifred. So I start reading about St. Winifred, and it's in England, and it says from the county of Guthrum and Terenth. Then I started to think in my mind, I said, is this the St. Winifred that we've been always talking about? Is she a real saint? Or did they make her up for the movie? Well, as I'm reading, it is the St. Winifred, and the very movie that we're working on, it was talking about her particular martyrdom, you know, with her bones, and she was in Guthrum, which was a town in Wales. And when you're reading the particular martyrology, it got to the point where it says, and her body was transferred from Guthrum in Wales to the Shrewsbury Abbey in England by the Benedictine monks. So this is based off true stories. And they transfer, and it says 1138, I'm not sure about the year, when her bones were transferred. And this is just what we're working on a movie, too. And then it tells you about her martyrdom. You got to read. I'm going to read to her story next week. This is a lead into the people who listen to this sermon. You can look under my lectures, and I'm going to have the life of St. Winifred now. So anyway, I'm reading about it. Now it's just what I'm working on when they're transferring her bones. And she was a holy virgin, very pure. And then some guy, she was in a convent, and she was an abbess of, she ran a convent. And this one particular guy lusted after her, and he wanted to fornicate with her. And she would not accept his approaches, and she rejected him, and she rebuked him, and he got angry. He got so angry at her that he came after her and he cut her head off. And as soon as he cut her head off, the earth opened up underneath him and swallowed him up like the schism of Kor. Swallowed him up. And guess what? After that, her head was put back on her body, and she lived again. We always said, you know, and we know it happened before. Those are the greatest. To me, I think that's so great because the devil thinks that when he cuts the head off, that's the end of it. Well, not if God says so. So us brothers were always saying, I'd like to know if any heads ever were put back on. And they started to live. Now, there were a few other examples I think we found out, but this was a really big one. And the particular saint, his name was Saint Benoît, who was responsible for making her, helped her become a saint, prayed for her. He was her uncle. He prayed for her, and her head came back on her body, and she lived again, I don't know how long, and there was a red mark around her neck to show that her head was cut off at one time. And she lived. And the guy was sent down to hell, the earth opened up, and then it's also called the Holy Well, and that's where her head was cut off, and her blood fell into that well, and it spurted up as a well that flows down to today. They turned it into bathwater where people go in there and soak for miracles. Many miracles took place in those waters. Even in the 17th century, when 1600s, when England was in schism, and it was Anglican. Anglicans were told to go there to bathe to get a miracle from a Catholic shrine and convert it to Catholicism. After they went in that bath and got healed, you got all these testimonies of Anglicans going there and converting after they got a miracle from through the Catholic Church at this particular shrine. We have a picture of it. What a great story this is about St. Winifred.
I think they say that miracles continued for 1,000 years.
For 1,000 years after. And now now we know there's, because God's not with most of these places, but miracles. And that happened during the week when we're working on the cat file, A Taste for Bones, when they're transferring St. Winifred bones from Guthrum in Wales to Shrewsbury in England. Now again, I tell the people, don't get that movie unless you get it from us. Because there was heresies in there that needed to be edited out. and some immodesty, minor. But when those movies are edited, they are very edifying, enlightening, and very good. And we have all of them. And we edited it. When we do our censorship, it's a whole... When you cut out those bad parts, it's like a whole new movie. It's beautiful. But I just wanted to... We can call that the Miracle of St. Winifred. Because here I am on Monday. It's the week we're working on. I picked the book out. I'm reading on St. Malachi. And the very next one is St. Winifred. I said, is that the St. Winifred we've all been talking about? Because all of us say, I wonder if she's a real saint or not, you know? So now we're going to have that one completed by... We already is completed. And it's ready to go. But it's called The Taste for Bones, and we call that The Miracle of St. Winifred. And that took place on also August 23rd, when Sister Marie stepped on the rock that that she picked up, and it was one rock and three stones. And those are just... I'm just giving you three little examples. This stuff happens so much and so often with us. I'm just trying to let the people know. And I want to give God glory. I want to give God thanksgiving. I want to give the Blessed Mother Mary thanksgiving. I want to give St. Michael, St. Gabriel, St. Raphael, our guardian angels, St. Patrick, St. Francis, St. Bernard, and all the saints that have been helping us, thanksgiving. I want to thank Him for helping us. I want to thank Him for being with us. I want to thank God for His great miracles. I want to let God people know that you can't do anything good without God. And when God's on your side, nobody can be against you. It's not that these are just not three random events. This happens every week with us. I'm just giving you little tidbits to show you what a waste people who serve God, who love God, who put God above all things. God has blessed us in so many ways. This is just a very little bit of the stuff that happens with us every day and every week. All right? And unless you put God first and you're willing to give up the whole world and die for the true God, you'll never get even the most smallest of these miracles. And I call these small miracles big miracles. It's big. And then after that, even there were several other things that happened about St. Winifred, and we were talking about her, which brought us many blessings. And it was a double blessing, because we always wanted to get a good example of a head that was cut off and put back on again. And just as a little example today, we're celebrating somebody who had his head cut off for Christ, another person, St. John the Baptist, today, on the beheading of St. John the Baptist. And what did Sister Mary Lou tell me when she came in here today? And I knew about this, but I forgot about it. She goes, you know, Brother Richard, I was reading the Roman Missal. I think it was one of our Roman Missals. And it said that Salome, who's the one who did the filthy, dirty, immodest dance in front of Herod, and then she's the one who actually said, I want the head of the John the Baptist. She was the prime murderer. Herod, too, because he was an accomplice. And, of course, her and her mother were the prime murderers. But it shows how God revenged her and got back on her. I don't know how long afterwards, but it says in the Missal, Salome was then dancing on the ice. She fell through the ice, and the ice came together and cut her head off. That's how she died. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord God. Deuteronomy 32:39, I will repay them in due time, that their foot may slide. For the time of visitation is at hand, the time make haste to come. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord God, Deuteronomy 32:39. And you think it was just said in the Old Testament? Jesus says it in Luke 18:7. Will not God revenge His elect who cry to them night and day? I say to you, He will revenge them quickly. That's Jesus speaking, folks. It's the same God in the Old Covenant era as it is in the New. So God will revenge His elect. Let that be a warning to everybody that thinks they can oppose God's chosen people and escape unscathed, unpunished. I will tell you that He will give you time to repent after you did your dirty deed. I don't care how bad it is. He will forgive the most evil person who even crucified our Lord. And in a sense, we all crucified Christ by our sins. But if you don't repent, He will pay you back. He will kill you. He will send you to everlasting damnation and hell for all eternity. For justice and mercy is with Him. And if you don't cooperate with His grace, there's nothing more God will do for or can do for you, because you have a free will. He had Salome's head cut off. He had the person that cut off Winifred's head right immediately go into hell. And her head was so put back on her body. Right? Just like He destroyed the temple after Jesus was crucified to warn the Pharisees and killed many Pharisees and obstinate Jews to warn them. Before it's too late. But anyway, these were like what we call a typical week at Mary's Little Ranch. And we get so many of these wonderful miracles. And I'm giving this sermon to give glory to the Lord my God. Like King David said, who is God but the Lord? Oh, who is God but our God? And who is our God? The Catholic God. the God of the Holy Catholic Church. He is not the Protestant God. He is not the Greek schismatic God. He's not the Russian Orthodox schismatic God. He's not the Muslim God. He's not the Talmudic Jewish God. He's not the Hindus' multiple gods. He's one God. He's the Catholic God. He's the most blessed and holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You cannot separate them. That is who God is. All right? So give glory to God and to the Blessed Virgin Mary on this feast of the St. John the Baptist when he's beheaded. And we're going to end this sermon with the hymn, Prima Virgo, which the devil tried to stop us from singing. And now I'm going to sing it. It's going to be on my website so everybody can hear it. And you can hear it and play it aloud because it'll cast devils out of your place when you put that on. Believe me, folks. You got problems in your homes? Put it on. Put on my sermon, our choir singing it, not some other choir. This is Mary's Little Remnant Choir singing it. That has the power of God behind it. If a traditional chapel sung it, it don't do them one bit of good because they denied a true Mary. If you're having troubles, play that sung by our choir. And when God alleviates some of your afflictions because of that, promise God that you will go to our website, that you will contact us, that you will do what you need to do to come into the one true church, which exists right here now in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, and we're the only people that are teaching the one deposit of the faith. There's only one Lord, one church, one religion. It's being taught out of one place as the main home base, and it's here. You don't believe it? That's your problem. It's always been the way with God. Just read the scriptures, and you'll see it. He saved the church through Noah. He saved it through Abraham. And then he saved it through the apostles, Peter and Paul and Jesus Christ. One source. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.